WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday. That's right. It is the calm after the storm that was Super Bowl 50. Congratulations goes out to the Denver Broncos led by Peyton Manning as Peyton can ride off into the sunset. We'll talk about the Super Bowl yesterday. You'll get our thoughts and opinions on what we saw and how the Broncos were able to pull out the upset. So plenty of Super Bowl chatter on today's show. We will also recap what took place out in Ann Arbor at Chrysler Center on Saturday afternoon as the Michigan State men's basketball team just simply took it to the Wolverines. A complete blowout there. We'll also have weekend winners for you. Just a jam-packed show as we recap the weekend that was in the sporting world. Again, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., just like we do each and every weekday here on the show. Call in to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much to get to, so little time. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, February 8th. Of course, we have to start with Super Bowl 50. The Denver Broncos defense proved to be too much for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers' high-powered offense as Denver held on for a 24-10 victory in Super Bowl 50. Despite a less-than-stellar performance from Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller and company had Newton under pressure all game long. The Broncos forced four Carolina turnovers and sacked Newton six times. Denver is the first team in Super Bowl history to have fewer than 200 yards of total offense and win. And while many suspect Manning played his last game on Sunday, he did not say whether or not he is retiring. Denver's Von Miller won MVP with six tackles, two and a half sacks, and forced two fumbles.
And the Panthers have a third and 10. Here comes pressure, and they've gotten to him. The ball is out in the end zone, and it's recovered by Malik Jackson for the touchdown.
Von Miller was fantastic. Michigan State women's basketball, they are back to their winning ways after a 74-69 dub on the road yesterday at Iowa. Ariel Powers led the 17th-ranked Spartans with 25 points and a key steal late in the game. The win is the sixth out of their last seven games, with the lone loss in that stretch coming Friday evening at number 5-ranked Maryland. MSU currently sits in third in the Big Ten race, a game and a half behind co-leaders Maryland and Ohio State. The Spartan seniors led the Michigan State men's basketball team in a 89-73 rout of the Michigan Wolverines Saturday at Chrysler Center. Michigan State led by as many as 30 in a game where Bryn Forbes set the tone early as he was hot from long distance. The senior guard finished with 29 points, connecting on 8 of 10 from three-point line. Denzel Valentine flirted with another triple-double as he finished with 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. Senior Matt Costello chipped in 14 points and 8 boards as well. The Spartans shot a sizzling, get this, 64% overall and 63.6% from downtown. They hit the road to take on Purdue tomorrow. Last month, the Spartans faced Michigan at home on the ice and took a big loss, 9-2. And they were looking for revenge this past weekend for the duel in the D between the teams hosted at the Joe, home of the Red Wings, Joe Louis Arena. The game was tied at 2-2 at the end of regulation on Friday night. So the rivals headed into overtime. And then, boom, goes the dynamite.
Good move by Haig. He had room to shoot, passes off.
Yes, the Spartans pulled out an overtime victory, 3-2. The final taking the Iron D Trophy back to EL. But on Saturday, after the Spartan basketball team topped Michigan away, Michigan State Hockey hosted the fifth-ranked Spartans at Munn for another rivalry showdown, but this time MSU couldn't pull it off. Michigan topped MSU at home for the third game in a row, first time since 1964-65. The Michigan State gymnastics team, they played host to Penn State yesterday while holding their annual Jan Howard Breast Cancer Awareness Meet. Penn State edged the Spartans in a close contest, 195.7 to 195.175. The highlight for the Spartans was senior Lisa Burt capturing the individual all-around title for the meet, helping Michigan State post their second-highest point total of the season. The Spartans return to action this Sunday, Valentine's Day, when they travel down the road to Ann Arbor and take on number 3-ranked Michigan. The Detroit Pistons return to the hardwood tonight when they play host to the Toronto Raptors at 7:30 p.m. at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Pistons are coming off a loss on the road at Indiana Saturday night and currently sit in eighth place of the Eastern Conference. Toronto has won 9 of their last 10 and sit atop of the Atlantic Division. The Detroit Red Wings continue their 5-game homestand tonight when the Florida Panthers visit Hockey Town. This will be the team's second matchup in 4 days as Florida beat the D 6-3 on Thursday night. And in an offseason filled with retirement rumors, another NFL star is joining in. Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch hinted on Twitter last night of his apparent retirement from the game. During the fourth quarter of last night's Super Bowl 50, Lynch sent out a tweet with a photo of green cleats hanging on a power line along with a peace emoji, perhaps signaling that he is hanging up the cleats for good. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let the show begin.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance along with my partner, Phil Sims, here for the Golden Game from the Golden State.
Let's meet the NFC champion, Carolina Panthers. And now, let's meet the AFC champion, Denver Broncos. Now, the 50th Super Bowl commences. And it's Cam's pass. It's bobbled and Kotchery. They say incomplete.
I think this is a good challenge by Carolina.
The ruling on the field stands as called. Is an incomplete pass.
And the Panthers have a 3rd and 10. Here comes pressure, and they've gotten to him. The ball is out in the end zone, and it's recovered by Malik Jackson for the touchdown. It was Vaughn Miller with the strip sack. From the 49, that's Tolbert. And he fumbles, and Trevathan is there with the recovery. From the gun. Yes, he is. He's picked off. What a catch by Ely, who's still on his feet. And look at Ely, 44 yards. And Gano. His kick. Oh, it hits the upright and bounces away. No good. Down the middle, and it is intercepted by T.J. Ward. Went through the hands again, and he fumbles it. Picked up by Trevathan, who had a recovery in the first half, 3rd and 14. Ball's out of his hand. And it's recovered by Carolina, it looked like, at midfield. Carolina recovery. It's a 3rd and 9. Rushing 4, ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground and still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the 4-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again. He knocked it out of the hands of Newton.
Cam Newton decides not to dive in there.
Yeah, he backed away from it. He jumped away instead of jumping into the pile.
Yep.
DPI, defensive pass interference. 1st and goal. And Anderson. Right back in. And he's in the end zone for the touchdown.
Boy, C.J. Anderson determined.
The Denver Broncos are world champions. They have just won Super Bowl 50. And the Lombardi Trophy is coming home to the Mile High City. Final score in Super Bowl 50 from Levi's Stadium here in Santa Clara. Denver 24, Carolina 10.
They just played better than us. I don't know what you want me to say. It's like, they made better, more plays than us, and that's what it come down to. I mean, we had our opportunities. It wasn't nothing special that they did. We dropped balls, we turned the ball over, gave up sacks, threw errant passes. That's it. They scored more points than that.
Can you put into words the disappointment you feel right now?
We lost.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fun-filled show. Current Sports is live and in full effect right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday, folks. Hey, it is Valentine's week. Yes, love is in the air. I always say this is the time of the year where every man in America goes completely broke. Yeah, you got to shell it out for your honey, though, right? Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day week, though, folks. It's going to be a great week of shows. I'm excited about it. Hopefully you guys are as well. And, of course, we have to start today's show by recapping what took place last night on your television, Super Bowl 50. The Broncos and Carolina Panthers going at it. The Broncos pulling out a 24-10 dub over Dab Nation. Yeah, Cam Newton. You know, and the talk of the town right now across many media platforms is not really what took place on the field that led to a Broncos win, but what took place after Cam Newton's press conference, in which he really didn't address any question that was thrown at him. After that loss on sports' biggest stage here in America. I'm not sure if you guys saw that post-game press conference, but again, that was just a snippet of it during that montage there. Cam Newton, that snippet was actually a part of just the only comments that he really made concerning the loss. And soon after that, after about 3 minutes, he said, you know what, I'm done. I'm out of here, and just kind of walked off. And many people are bashing Cam Newton on social media right now. Just to read a few tweets here online. I picked out a few here. This one is coming from at Jeff Powell. He says, Cam Newton sat at the podium for 3 minutes and 15 seconds, ignored almost every question, and said, quote, I'm out of here. Wayne Root tweeted this, quote, I've watched post-game interviews by losing quarterbacks my whole life. Cam Newton is a classless jerk. How about Charlie Whittle? Quote, classless Cam Newton. That sums up his post-game interview. And I'll finish up with this one. Taylor Cordova tweets, quote, upset or not, leaders don't act the way Cam Newton did in his post-game interview. Classless and not how the MVP, quote-unquote, should act. Yeah. But you know what? Peyton Manning saw things differently when evaluating Cam's post-game demeanor. Quote, I tell you, Cam couldn't have been nicer to me. He was extremely humble, congratulated me, wished me the best. I told him just congratulations on his outstanding season and just what a great future he has ahead of him. He'll be back in that game, I can promise you. So a love affair between Cam and Peyton, at least, last night. But how surprising was that outcome? I mean, everyone, including my mama, who really doesn't watch sports, chose the Carolina Panthers to win that game. And then what happens? Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos really just controlled that entire game, led by, of course, the Denver Bronco defense, which has been stout all year, folks. And I think many people, I was a guest on Current State this morning. You guys heard that right before we took the airwaves just now. I sat down with Mark Basher on the show and just really harped on how many people underestimated just how good this Denver Broncos defense was all year. And then the big knock on this game when approaching the Super Bowl was that, okay, the Denver Broncos defense is good, but they have not played a quarterback like Cam Newton, which is pretty true. Pretty true at the end of the day. But my goodness, that notion quickly went out the window of how good they are, no matter who they play, Cam Newton or not, in the very first quarter of that game. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, they did what they've been doing all season, wreaking havoc. Wreaking havoc in the backfield. No one can guard those two. I mean, they're so quick off the line, the combination of speed, agility, and they're so smart. When it comes to just, you know, mixing up formations. And a lot of that has to do with the defensive coordination of the Denver Broncos as well. And also, hey, shout out to Wade Phillips. How about them Cowboys? You know, I had to throw that in there. But, I mean, just a lot of, you know, misdirection when it comes to those two. And when you combine misdirection with athleticism and size with Ware and Miller, oh, it's a recipe for success. And we've been seeing that all season. And you know, Von Miller, he gets the MVP. It's always cool anytime you see a defensive player win an MVP honor in the Super Bowl. You know, 5 years, 5 years after being drafted number two behind the man who he wreaked havoc on all night in Super Bowl 50. Yeah, a lot of people forget that. Von Miller was drafted number two behind, yes, Cam Newton. I tell you, Miller was just, he was stout. Unbelievable yesterday, compiling 2.5 sacks, earning MVP honors while helping the Broncos to a 24-10 win. And, you know, the tone was set early, that early fumble that led to that first Denver touchdown, you know, zooming right past, you know, tackle Mike Rembers and touchdown, just like that. And you could just see from a very that very moment, the confidence of Cam took a shot. It certainly did. Now, there's a flip side to this as well. I mean, you could certainly criticize the offensive play calling by Ron Rivera in that game. I really thought that they should have took off the leash with Cam and let him run more than he did that night. I think he lived in the pocket far too often. I would have liked to see Cam, you know, with a few more option plays, if you will. That didn't happen, though. And when you try to live in the pocket against that Denver defense, they are going to beat you every single time. Didn't expect it, though. Did not expect it. And Cam Newton, of course, really frustrated. And to address the criticism that Cam Newton has been receiving about his post-game presser, first off, I want to put this in perspective. We, us mortals here on the earth who don't play the NFL for a living, will really never know what it's like. Most of us will never know what it's like to play in the Super Bowl, the creme de la creme of sports events in America. It's the Super Bowl. And the hype surrounded around Cam Newton, the NFL MVP and offensive player of the year, Dab Nation, so much hype surrounded around Cam, so much expectation surrounded around Cam Newton approaching this game and his team, to be honest. And to go out there and to not live up to those expectations when the world is watching you, when more than 120 million eyeballs are focused on you and you don't deliver. I mean, I can't even imagine what was running through Cam's head, what sort of emotion he felt after that loss. So, yeah, you can argue and say, okay, could Cam have handled that press conference better? Certainly. Certainly. I mean, you can go back to Russell Wilson, you know, with the whole situation and how they lost. You know, we all know you should have ran it with beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. And they lost it in that form and fashion. And Russell Wilson goes and addresses it. And, you know, he sits up there and answers every single question and walks off. But again, folks, it's the Super Bowl. We will never know what it's like to play on that stage, to fall short of those expectations, and to have to address a field of reporters out there. And he did address them. You know, he answered every question, and he may not have answered it in the depth that we may not have liked him to answer it. But, I mean, what do you expect him to do? Sit up there with a smiling face and to go in depth and answer everything? I mean, I don't know. I just didn't have a huge problem with Cam's demeanor when he was up there. I understood where he was coming from. And he gave you a few quotes that you could use, which we just played. So I think it's just being blown out of proportion, just like everything in Cam Newton's career has been. You know, when he first entered the league, you know, we documented this last week when we were previewing this game. He came in as an cocky, arrogant kid, the towel over his head. He dances too much. This is just another criticism that goes in the box of criticisms that Cam Newton has had throughout his entire career. He sat up there for his allotted time of 3 minutes. He answered the questions that was thrown at him, whether you liked the answers or not. He sat up there and did his job and then said, you know what, deuces. It hurts. It hurts. I hear where he's coming from. On the flip side, congratulations to Peyton Manning. He now has 2 Super Bowl wins, so now his little brother Eli will not rub that in his face anymore, right? I'm sure that was a conversation at the dinner table anytime Eli and Peyton were joking around, hey, I got more Super Bowl wins than my big brother. But now they both have 2. So congratulations to Peyton Manning, the oldest quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Previously, it was his boss, John Elway, who we saw last night hoisting up the Super Bowl trophy. So congratulations to Peyton, though. I mean, it's really good to see a guy who has been really the model of class in the NFL for quite some time. Now, who knows where that whole steroid situation is going to go? But right now, I mean, Peyton Manning has had a squeaky clean career. He's done it the right way. And, you know, he's been the face of the league for quite some time now. To see him ride off into the sunset with the Super Bowl win, and again, number 200 at that, I mean, you couldn't have scripted that better. He gets his 200th win in Super Bowl 50 and, you know, gets his second Super Bowl. That's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So all signs point to Peyton Manning retiring and, you know, hey, well-deserving for Peyton Manning. I think that this is like the cherry on top of his really impressive career over time. So, folks, what do you think of the Super Bowl? Because overall for me, and this is my opinion of last night's Super Bowl, and many may not agree with this. You may agree with it. I don't know. But this was the most boring Super Bowl I have ever watched in my entire life. From the commercials to the game itself, there was no drama. I mean, it was a defense-filled Super Bowl. Wasn't anybody lighting it up on the scoreboard. The halftime show, you know, Beyonce, you know, it's so funny. My mom threw her Super Bowl party, and it's so funny. All the men are in the living room. We're watching the Super Bowl, and as soon as the halftime show hits, and they know that Beyonce is going to come out, my sister ran into the room. My baby sister ran into the room. My mom ran into the room. I mean, everyone's glued to their television anytime Beyonce does anything, and that's exactly how it was. That's exactly how it was last night. But the Super Bowl halftime show was okay. I mean, you had with Coldplay. Bruno Mars, I thought, set it out. I mean, he's always fun to watch. And Beyonce, she did her things like she always does. She almost fell. I don't know if people caught that, but she almost fell during one set of her routine. But like a pro, she bounced back and finished her set. And it was all right, but the audio was a bit, I don't know if you guys felt this, but the audio was a bit janky during that whole halftime show. Overall, though, I thought it could have been better, but I wasn't glued to my television watching this Super Bowl. In my opinion, again, it was the most boring Super Bowl I've ever watched. I don't know if you guys agree. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I rested pretty well last night because I fell asleep during halftime of the Super Bowl. It was a boring game. I'm 100% with you. There wasn't anything exceptional about that one, and the last two, in fact, have been duds. But at the same time, what you have to look at is the result. And what we found out yesterday is Denver's the best team defensively we've seen in a long time when it comes to football. I thought that was Carolina going into the game. But that linebacking core of Denver, oh my gosh, they're at least 5 or 6 deep. DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, and Danny Trevathan all making plays throughout the game. And then you also found out that, you know what, maybe Cam does have a kryptonite. And when you rush enough players and they're fast enough to keep up, then Cam doesn't have an answer necessarily. So, and while I don't think he should have gotten that much flack for his post-game comments, I did think it was really discouraging and disappointing to not see him dive for the football in that situation. Yeah. I thought that was a big deal.
Very, very true. And, you know, and there were three big plays in that game. And, you know, one concerning, first off, for me, just setting the tone early, setting the tone early where when you evaluate it, that fumble was huge. That fumble that led to a touchdown was huge because it kind of set the tone early in that game. And then second, the incomplete pass that they called, I forget
that
the receiver. I'm saying, like, how do you call that as an incomplete catch? I just don't understand the rules when it comes to a completed catch in today's game. I just don't understand. I thought that was a big momentum changer as well because, you know, it just kind of just let the air out of Carolina's balloon. And also, again, you brought it up. I mean, the Cam Newton fumble where he just kind of just looked at the football when it was on the ground. And I'm sitting there saying maybe he thought, you know, and I had to actually DVR it back. I had to go back and look at that moment because I'm wondering, okay, why didn't Cam fall on the ground and try to, you know, cover that ball up? But when you look at it again, I thought that Cam maybe had thought, you know, they were going to call it an incomplete pass, maybe. You know, his arm maybe came forward. That's the only thing that comes to mind. But he just kind of looked at the football when it was on the ground. Like, you know, all right, well, that's it.
I think he was resigned to defeat.
I
think it comes down to that because I'll tell you what, I don't have a problem with quarterbacks moping after a game. Because Peyton Manning, who you see pass up Brett Favre for most all times win yesterday, reaches 200, first to two centuries. But he's was actually criticized after the New Orleans Saints beat him in the Super Bowl 31-17, 2010. And he was criticized for walking off the field without shaking hands. That's what he was criticized for. I didn't have any problem with it. You just lost the Super Bowl. You've got your right to be disappointed. But when you're playing the game, you give every ounce of energy, every ounce of heart that you have because of how hard you work to get there, because of your fans that made the trip over, the fans watching, because your teammates' effort expended. And I don't think Cam Newton did that. And it was shocking and appalling to me to see that. And that's what disappointed me. Not the post-game presser, but in-game not going for that lost ball.
Yeah, it was a collective effort, though. I mean, Carolina on both sides of the football, they could have played better. But, yeah, it's a big snoozer to me. Folks, what did you think about the Super Bowl? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what? Also, I want to shout out Benny Fowler. Benny Fowler is a guy who certainly is well-known when it comes to Spartan gridiron football. He was a great receiver when he was here. He now is in the NFL. He started off on the practice squad. They signed him to a contract. He was playing as he's been a backup wide receiver most of this season. He's gotten opportunities due to injuries and has taken full advantage of those opportunities. It was very cool because after a Denver score, Payton and company, they went for a two-point conversion and converted a pass from Manning to Benny Fowler, which may be, you know, it may go down. I think many people are going to predict this to go down as Payton's last throw. And it was to a Spartan. How cool is that? Check it out.
From a couple out from the gun. And Manning hits the pass to Fowler to make it 24-10.
Yeah. How cool was that, though? You know, Benny goes out there. And I read an article from Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. And Dave talked to Benny after that game yesterday. And right now, you know, Benny had a cool quote in there discussing what is going to be done with the football that he caught from Peyton Manning. Because, again, it will go down probably as Peyton Manning's last throw. You know, whether or not Peyton wants to keep it, whether, you know, Benny will keep it, who knows. But they're in discussion right now. But he said, hey, if Peyton wants it, hey, he will gladly give it over to the sheriff. Very cool stuff. But Von Miller, again, going back to Von Miller, I do believe we have a bite from his post-game interview. Again, Von Miller, your Super Bowl MVP.
I'm so proud of my guys. It's been every last one of the guys in the locker room that has gotten me to this moment right here. Could have gave up on me, but he kept pushing and kept being the type of guys that they are in the locker room. I'm very, very appreciative of them. Happy for Clady, happy for Ryan, happy for the O-line, I'm happy for Bronco Nation. We're going to celebrate this one all summer.
And how about we hear from the sheriff himself, riding off into the sunset with his second Super Bowl victory.
I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
I tell you what, Peyton Manning does not have a Budweiser sponsorship, but he just got one with that quote. Without
a doubt. You believe that?
I think he did. I think Budweiser's going to pick him up for that quote. That
quote
is blowing Budweiser up now.
Budweiser had picked him up. I don't believe that talk about him just saying that off the top of the dome. Because also,
why not?
After the game, he said, I'm going to drink a lot of beer tonight and a lot of Budweiser. He re-corrected himself just to make sure he squeezed Budweiser in there. He was definitely endorsed.
Yeah. Possibly. It may have been pre-planned, but I tell you what, he just got picked up from Budweiser. We will see some Peyton Manning Budweiser spots very soon.
Did you see the Papa John kiss after the game?
I did. How crazy was that? I'm sitting like, hold on, is that the Papa John's guy? I'm like, hold on, that can't be. And I had to rewind that to make sure. I'm like, whoa. I tell you, Peyton, he may be retiring, but I tell you what, that dough is still going to be coming in, without a doubt. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, folks, we'll be inviting our guests for today's Current Sports. Folks, we're going to be highlighting Michigan State bike polo. I kid you not. I repeat, Michigan State bike polo. I kid you not, folks. You don't want to miss this one. All of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back. Again, folks, you are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, our phone lines are open, folks, if you want to be part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, I've never heard of this sport. You know, actually, our station manager, Peter Worf, he came to me the other day and was like, Al, have you ever heard of Michigan State bike polo? And I'm sitting there saying, What in the world is bike polo? I've never heard of this before. And, you know, he's like, all right, well, I'm going to forward you some information. He forwarded me an email. Two individuals who are in studio with us right now, Eddie Glazer and Caleb Trujillo. They are in studio right now to talk about bike polo. I believe they're hosting their first tournament open very, very soon. And they're going to give you guys information on how the sport goes down. It's just all the intangibles that go along with it. First off, Eddie and Caleb, welcome to the show.
Hey, Al. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, without a doubt. You. Appreciate that. First off, did you guys watch the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
No, you guys aren't football fans? What about you, Caleb?
I tuned in for a few minutes, and it wasn't moving fast enough. So,
I'd love to have the time to be a fan, but I'm a graduate student.
Right. I tell you, busy. It's a busy life, isn't it? First off, guys, let's start with you, Eddie. I want to talk about the sport of bike polo. How long has this been at MSU, and talk about your involvement with it?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, there's been rumors that the bike polo here goes way back to not that it's that far, but like 2006, 2005. Like the MSU bike polo team started with a bunch of people that worked at the bike shop, and they would just play out in the grassy fields. But it kind of comes in waves. People play for a little while, but then people don't. I got into it maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a big cyclist, but I'm from California, so like the first winter hit, you know, I had my first real winter here. I was like, oh man, I want to ride my bike. And so we just started playing indoor bike polo.
Wow, very, very cool. What about you, Caleb? How did you get involved?
Well, so I only moved here about a year ago, and I was really happy to see that there was already a club involved on campus. And I've been playing for about 5.5 years. I started at Purdue, where they have a similar league. But yeah, coming here, we've been playing on the indoor turf during the winters, which is nice having it. Usually it's a seasonal kind of sport because we like to play on the, you know, abandoned tennis courts or wherever we can find.
right.
But having some indoor facilities here at MSU has really helped us step up our game even in the winter months. So
I have to know, because personally, I have never watched the sport of polo, don't know how it's scored. Just kind of break down the sport, how it's scored, and we'll throw this to Caleb, how it's scored, how many people are on a respective team, because I don't know anything about it. Just kind of describe it.
Well, I think it's a great question. And the sport is definitely have a lot of variations. I think the most commonly played form is 3-on-3. It kind of has the feel of hockey, a lot of passing, a lot of shooting. You're trying to score goals.
Okay.
Super fast game.
Yeah, very dynamic. You use the bike to get speed, of course.
Normally, you're using a horse, right?
Normally, yeah. But, you know,
we can't afford horses.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, very expensive.
To feed. And what we like to do is play 3-on-3. So usually you start off with the joust, where the ball's in the center and each team sends somebody to the center. And it's kind of like a race. Mm-hmm. And we usually play first to 5 points. It's a lot of back and forth passing. And, you know, there's tournaments all over the U.S. And, in fact, the World Championships was this last weekend. While you're watching the Super Bowl, we were watching our world finals in New Zealand.
Yeah, at like 2 a.m. because it was in New Zealand.
Wow. Hold on. Well, who broadcast that? That's not ESPN, is it?
No, just online.
Oh, online. Okay, you have to get the online stream. Yeah, so you're on bikes. What kind of gear are you wearing? And what do you have? What's the thing called in your hand? What is that called?
The mallet.
The mallet. You got the mallet, and you're trying to get this ball in the net?
In the net, yeah, in the goal. It looks like a hockey goal, but it's a little bit lower.
Okay, gotcha. So it's hockey on a bike.
Yeah, basically. That's one way.
Now, okay, what are you wearing? What kind of gear are you wearing?
Well, we always encourage helmets, but not everybody does that. I'm super, you know, careful, so I'm wearing the full gear. I'm wearing knee pads, elbow pads, helmet, anything I can protect, and I should probably get a face mask one of these days, but I haven't invested yet.
How common are injuries in this sport, Caleb?
Well, I think, you know, like all sports, there is some risk involved, and it depends who you're playing with and at what level. Mm-hmm. You know, for us playing pickup, it's not uncommon to have like a skinned knee, so oftentimes players wear like knee pads. I wear gloves too because, like, you know, when you're hitting mallets together, sometimes your hand gets hit. So
it's
nice to have a little protection. But, you know, there are some really bad injuries too. Like my buddy just yesterday posted a picture of, you know, he needed 9 stitches.
Oh man,
really?
So there's occasionally some really bad falls, but you know There's been some new rules instated, and also more people are wearing pads, so the number of injuries are definitely going down.
I didn't mean to characterize it as a really dangerous sport. I'm just really like injury averse. That's all.
Right. Exactly. Now, when it comes to the physicality of the sport, I mean, how physical is it really? I mean, do a lot of these injuries come from falling off your bike, really?
Yeah.
Or do the bikes collide from time to time? I mean, how common is that?
Yeah, that too.
So all it happened. The gamut really happens.
I mean, I hurt myself primarily by hurting myself. Nobody touches me. I just fall over, and I've been playing for several years. But that's kind of my thing. I think I don't know how to move.
Yeah, no, Eddie's definitely his own worst enemy.
Oh yeah,
so, really?
But you know, when you get to the competitive level, players will go all out as hard as they can to get that ball, and sometimes you know it'll hit your steering arm where you're holding your handlebars, and that'll. Mm-hmm. Flip you right over the bike. So
mallet will go through the spokes and the bike will stop. I mean, weird stuff happens out there, but you know, we're not on that professional level here at MSU. We're getting a lot better, and we do have some really good players. But if people come out to our games, come out to our pickup practices, anybody's allowed to come. We're not gonna be shoulder checking you into the walls or grinding your gears or anything. Yeah. We play to that level. And that's one of the really nice things about the indoor court here at MSU is it's a padded court.
Now which court are you guys at? Is it at IM West?
It's IM West.
Okay.
We play at IM West on Fridays from 5 p.m. usually to 7. Anybody can come. It's usually best if they tell us ahead of time. Like if you don't have a bike, you don't have a mallet, you don't have a helmet, just hit us up on our Facebook page and say, hey, I've got 3 people, we're coming. We'll bring those things for you. That's not a problem.
Now, when it comes to the bikes, I mean, what's the regulation when it comes to the bikes? I mean, does everyone have the same bike? You're talking, you know, 2 wheels, what, training wheels on the thing? What is
training wheels? Well,
yeah, exactly. I know, right? I mean, that'd be hilarious.
People
right?
come out and play on it just about everything. I've seen, you know, a good player on a BMX bike. I've seen a good player on, you know, a built up $3,000 Polo specific bike. But, you know, really, where we are here, it's whatever you can find, really. So oftentimes it's single speeds because, you know, you don't really need to change gears when you're going as slow as we do.
Everyone thinks that we use fixed gears, but they're not. They're just single speeds. Nobody really uses fixies that much.
Yeah, a lot of players started with that, but really any bike that you can, you know, maneuver and has low enough gear ratio that you can kind of pick up your acceleration and stop and go is perfectly fine to play with.
And one that you don't really care gets a couple of scratches.
Right, exactly, right? I'm sure it's going to get beat up out there. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Eddie Glazer and Caleb Trujillo as they are representatives from the Michigan State Bike Polo team. Now, I have to know, how popular is this sport on this campus, Eddie?
We get a lot of people coming to watch for sure, and we invite anybody. You know, we're playing over at IM West. People just kind of stop in their tracks, and when they walk by the room, it's what's going on in there, you know? And we invite them to come play, and they're like, yeah, you know, you can see it in their eye when they really want to play. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, you got to get off your bike and hand it to them. And just, you know, in that one kind of instance of curiosity, if you hand them a bike and a mallet and go, just go, do it, they'll go with you. But we're getting a lot more interest these days now that...
I think last Friday we had 9 people show up, so that was enough to have 2 matches going on either side of the courts there, the turf courts.
I think we're having multiple games going at the same time, and most of those 9 people were brand new people. It wasn't even our regulars.
So how many regulars do you guys have on the team?
It fluctuates anywhere from like 10 to 12 are our regular teams that go out, and we do tournaments in other parts of Michigan, kind of thing like that.
So pretty good amount.
Yeah, the core team.
What's the reaction you guys get when people walk by and see you guys participating in practice or during a match? I mean, what's the reaction like? And again, does that kind of fuels the popularity as well when people are just walking by and seeing you guys in IM West, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely, the first question is, what are you guys doing?
Right, like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. What is this? What are you guys doing? I mean, we play right after the Quidditch guys, though, too, and I'm sure they get that kind of reaction sometimes. We show up early to set up practice, and we see the Quidditch people play, and it's kind of like, oh, I thought what we were doing was weird.
Right. Now, how widespread is it? I mean, what other campuses? Here in just the state of Michigan do have bike polo clubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ann Arbor, Detroit.
Yeah. We're actually, this April, we're going to launch our first Michigan Bike Polo League to try and bring all of these clubs together. So there's Ann Arbor, Detroit, Grand Rapids. They have really strong clubs right now. Kalamazoo did have one. We're trying to get that one revamped again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, starting to, a lot of these are built around college areas, but trying to get the teams to be, not have to travel out of state in order to play each other and have good recreational play.
Right.
It's so easy to get isolated on your own campus and only play the people you know, but in order to get better, you really have to learn other styles and learn other tricks. So we're trying to bring that level to play without having to drive like 5 hours to go to a tournament in Ohio or a tournament in Chicago.
But right, besides just being popular locally and in the state, like, it's really popular internationally. When we were watching that tournament, I mean, the team who ended up getting in first place, what do they have? A Czech guy, a German guy, and a French guy? That was their team?
Wow, very good. So
all playing in New Zealand?
If you had to select an area where this sport is the most popular, is it New Zealand?
I don't know. I'm biased because I'm West Coast, but
yeah, I gotcha. Think the U.S. is definitely leading the popularity right now. But we also have a bigger population compared to most of the other countries. So I think that last time I checked, there's over 120, maybe 150 clubs in the U.S.
Wow, that's a lot.
And those are just the ones registered. So, for instance, Lansing, until I got here.
Registered till last year.
I don't think they knew that other people played bike polo.
No.
Gotcha, okay.
He kind of discovered us playing bike polo, and we were using these, like, bamboo mallets that we had made with, like, PVC pipes, and just just garbage kind of screwed together, and, like, whatever bikes we could find behind dumpsters. And it was just, like I said, it was just a way for us to be on bikes, having fun together, rolling around in the winter, and then we've become a lot more professional since then.
Yeah, it was all DIY, and now, their eyes kind of beamed when they found out, wow, there's companies that make mallets. You don't have to do this yourself.
It's official stuff. It's official gear for this.
Yeah,
right. There's
bike polo bicycles.
Oh, no, that's idea. Very cool stuff. Now, for folks out there listening, if they want to get a part, want to be a part of your club, how can they do so? Pub yourself a little bit.
Yeah, well, the best way to get a hold of us is on our Facebook page. We communicate all of our information through there, so it's just MSU Bicycle Polo. You can search us, Lansing Bicycle Polo, either one of those. We play, like I said before, IM West every Friday, 5 p.m. When the summer comes along, the weather gets better, we'll start playing outside again more and more often. Usually we have 2 or 3 games every week.
Now, how is the season breakdown? You guys are doing tournaments right now, but I mean, how is it in comparison to like an MSU men's basketball year? Do you have a regular season, a postseason? How does that whole thing work?
Well, I don't think we're quite that organized yet.
Right. You guys just play and just go from there.
So we're going to try and start this, a spring league, throughout the month of April. So that'll be kind of the beginning of the bike polo season outdoor.
Okay.
And then we're going to, usually the hot summer months is when people travel out of state and go to the bigger events. And then we'll try and get something again in the fall right before it gets too cold. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start our winter season indoors again. Usually between November and maybe like end of March, we'll be inside.
Very cool stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, Eddie and Caleb, we'll be sure to mention how people can get involved with your organization on our Facebook page as well as Twitter. But very cool stuff. So again, pub it one more time. Again, how can they? Days are you guys at IM West?
Go on to Facebook, look up MSU Bike Polo, join our group, and we'll be posting every Friday at 5 p.m.
Yep.
to 7. We're happy to have you and happy to bring gear for you, too.
And I'll tell you
West.
What, I am West. And we plan on, I plan on bringing the Current Sports TV crew out, and we would love to do a video feature. I may even get on the bike. How's that sound?
Oh, only if you get on the bike.
Al. Only, okay, so I can't do the feature unless I get on the bike.
We'll
and
give
and
you
try
some pads, though. We'll go easy on you.
Please, please, fellas, okay? Again, folks, again, the Michigan State Bike Polo Club. Again, Eddie Glazer and Caleb Trujillo. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Al.
Let's hit our first. Yeah, well, appreciate it, guys. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, again, we'll be wrapping up the show with weekend winners. Again, continue to take your calls, all of that and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. How cool was that interview, right? Caleb Trujillo and, of course, Eddie Glazer, representatives from the Michigan State bike polo team. I've never heard of bike polo. That's interesting stuff, I tell you, folks. Again, we'll be sure to put information on our website on how you can get involved with their club, and we'll also be bringing a video feature to you. Just like they said, they won't let me do it, though, unless I get on the bike and embarrass myself. So that will be coming very, very soon. So, again, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, I have to mention, of course, Saturday afternoon, the Michigan State men's basketball team just completely bringing it to the Wolverines. 89-73 was the final of that game. And how about Bryn Forbes? A lot of people were worried about Bryn when he went through that stretch of the year where he really couldn't hit anything. But as I always say, when it comes to shooters, shooters are going to go through slumps. He was 8 of 10 from the three-point line. One three-pointer short of tying the Chrysler Center record of 9. He put up 29 points. Lights out, folks. And talk about efficiency. He was 10 of 13. Bryn Forbes, hats off to him. That's my early weekend winner before we dive into that segment later on. But right now, I want to bring on a young man who we've been trying to get on the show for quite some time now. He is so busy, seeing as though he's in the midst of a transfer. Folks, I'm talking about Trevor Manuel, former Lansing Everett hoop star, now basketball player at Loyola Marymount in California, transferred from the University of Oregon. Trevor, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Fantastic, brother. How are you loving the beautiful weather out in Cali? I know it's much better than Michigan right now.
I know. I'm loving it right now. It's 80 degrees out here.
Gotta love that. Well, we're glad to have you on our airwaves. I know we tried to get you on last week, and I know your schedule is just redonkulous right now. But I first want to dive into this. Again, we only have 10 minutes left in the show. I want to get right to it. First off, Trevor, why did you decide to transfer from the University of Oregon to Loyola Marymount? What wasn't clicking at Oregon?
I mean, I just feel like it wasn't the right fit for me there, so I just decided to make a change to try to find a program that was going to help me and just be the right fit, to be honest.
What specifically made it not the right fit for you?
I mean, like, I wasn't happy there, and this, I mean, I wasn't playing and everything like that, so it just kind of just made it hard. And I was just kind of like this. I was just like stopped caring a little bit. So I didn't want to lose that passion. So I just had to feel like I had to make a change.
Trevor, was it solely the issue of not having playing time? Was that kind of the basis of it, the premier basis of it?
I mean, that was kind of one of the big things. But then, like, just me kind of losing the passion for the game, that was just kind of, I had to get up out of there before I like lost all the love for it.
Why was that? So it went as far as that, where the game that you've been playing, I mean, since you were little, I mean, you started to lose the passion to play the game of basketball. I mean, what led to that?
I don't know. To be honest, it's just like just going through practice every day and just sitting there. It just wasn't fun anymore, and it was hard for me.
Trevor, what lured you to Oregon in the first place?
I went on my visit, and I felt like I had like a really good connection with the coaching staff, and I felt like it was like a really good place and a good opportunity.
Now, I remember when your father, James, shout out to James, man, you gotta love him. When both of you guys came on the show to talk about your decision to go to Oregon, and you know, it seemed like the right fit. You guys really loved the campus. I remember you guys stating that on our airwaves. And you know, when you went there and then transferred, you know, there was a lot of things that were said via social media as far as, you know, concerning the reasons why you transferred to Loyola Marymount in the first place. Trevor, I want to give you the mic right now to respond to individuals who looked at you transferring to another school and saying that, okay, you know, you abandoned ship a little bit too early. Why not just ride it out and just wait for your opportunity? How do you respond to that criticism?
I mean, really, I mean, people are going to say what they want, but at the end of the day, I feel like I have to do what's best for me. And like I said, just me staying there, I just wasn't happy. And I feel like if you're unhappy somewhere, you have to make a change. Trevor, and this is one of the things I had to do.
Trevor, what role did your family and personnel around you play in the decision to transfer?
I mean, really, they were all there just to support me and everything like that, just telling me whatever I do, they're going to be there to back me 100%. So basically, it was just all love. And then, you know, I got my dad just talking to me, like, through the options and everything like that. So he was like, my dad played a big part in, like what schools I was, like, interested in and stuff like that, to, like, try to find the right spot for me.
Trevor, do you think you ended things on good terms with the transfer from Oregon?
Oh yeah, I mean, I told the coaches and everything. I mean, it just wasn't the right fit, and I'm rooting for them every game they play, and I hope they have the best season they can.
Without a doubt. Again, we are chatting with Trevor Emanuel, former Lansing Everett hoop star, now basketball player at Loyola Marymount. Now, I'm curious, Trevor, when you decided to transfer to a different school, what other schools other than Loyola Marymount were on your list, or was it just Loyola?
Like Texas, Georgia, Arizona State, and some other schools around Michigan and stuff. I think Oakland was trying to get in contact and everything.
What made Loyola Marymount the right choice?
I mean, I feel like Coach Dunlap is a great coach. And I knew Stephen Haney. He played in Lansing for a while. And I knew another guard out here named Moonis Tutu. So I just decided to come out here with some guys I know and try to make things happen out here.
How's the adjustment been, my friend? I got to know, because I was chatting with your dad early last week, and I want to confirm this. Were you in class with Michael Jackson's son? Is that true?
I don't have a class with him, but he is on campus. Yes, he is.
That's very cool stuff. He was telling me you were sitting in class, and well, I don't know if it was class. I mean, you're just on campus, and you looked, and there's Michael Jackson's son. I mean, there's got to be a lot of – because this is in L.A., right? Los Angeles, California. Yeah. So you probably
it's a lot of celebrities' kids that go to school here, and a lot of people with some high power that they send their kids here.
That's very cool. What other people have you met there?
I met Sugar Ray Leonard's daughter. I heard Eddie Murphy's son goes here, and there's a lot of other people. The owner of Muscle Myth, I think his daughter comes here as well. So there's a lot of people here.
Wow, were you a bit starstruck when you met those individuals?
I mean, I was just starstruck, but it was just like cool just knowing that all these people are sending their kids to this school. So I mean, if they can send their kid here, okay, I think it's a good enough fit for me too.
Trevor, what kind of a guy is Coach Mike Dunlap? What kind of a coach is he?
Oh, he's a great coach. He's straightforward, and he doesn't BS or anything like that. He gets straight to it, and he says like exactly what is on his mind. And I mean, and most of it's the truth. If he tells you need to work on something, you can believe that. You need to work on that and everything.
Trevor, what kind of system does he run that you think will allow you to flourish in?
I mean, really, he just lets his players play, and he doesn't really hold anybody back. If he thinks you can do something, he's going to let you do it.
What are you currently working on as far as the logistics of your basketball game that you think need to be worked on to become a better player right now?
Right now, I mean, I'm working on everything from the weight room and stuff on the court, just trying to get stronger and making sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do to be ready for next season.
In what ways do you think you improved, even from looking at, you know, your senior year of high school to that jump to Oregon, even though it didn't work out there? In what ways do you think you have improved as a college basketball player, even though the situation didn't pan out as a Duck?
I mean, going to Oregon, I developed like a low post game. I wasn't too strong in the post last season in high school, but going there, I developed the jump hook and started being more confident around the rim.
Gotta love that. And now, of course, I know you had to sit out the rest of this year, but you will be in action next year, right, Trevor?
I think I get to go back December 17th. I think that's the first day I get to come back.
December 17th is the date. I'm sure you're circling that on your calendar, right?
Yes, sir.
How much, though, I mean, with the transfer, of course, you have to sit out, you know, this season. How much does that irk you, having to sit out and watch, you know, your teammates go out there and play the game, you know, game after game? Of course, I'm pretty sure you get to participate in practice and whatnot. But does it pain you to sit out during this time?
I mean, yeah, it does hurt a little bit, and just not being able to go out there and just play with the people you practice every day with. But I think it's just going to better me at the end of the day, because I'm sitting here working on my game more and more every day, and I think I'll be ready. And then also this summer, I'll be playing in a couple of leagues out here as well, just to be able to get back into action.
Gotta love that. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you play at Loyola Marymount. You guys know that we wish you the best out there, my man, and I know you're going to rip it up. Before we get off the airwaves, I got to know, do you miss Lansing at all? Do you miss home? And do you have anything you want to say to the people here in Mid-Michigan?
Of course. I mean, I miss home. I miss my family and the people I grew up with. And just not being able to see them every day, I mean, it kind of sucks. But then at the end of the day, I just know it's all for a good reason. And I just know that I'm doing this all for my city and just to be able to give back as much as possible.
Trevor Manuel, former Lansing Everett Hoop star, now basketball player at Loyola Marymount in California, sunny California. Trevor, thanks so much for your time, and I'm wishing you the best, my man.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, gotta love that. Trevor, how cool is that, though? I mean, he's walking on campus with Eddie Murphy's, you know, kin and Michael Jackson's son. How cool is that, man?
Well, you know, Eminem's daughter, Haley Mathers.
Goes here.
Yeah, goes to Michigan State. And I thought that was cool. But then you hear one verse, what? He's got six celebrity sons or daughters there? Wow.
Right.
Okay.
And I think, doesn't Madonna's daughter go to, like, U of M?
U of M.
Gotcha. That's very cool stuff. We're definitely wishing Trevor the best. You know, it's always interesting, though, whenever you hear about these transfers, Isaac, because especially when they're local kids. And you know, Trevor got a lot of flack even when he transferred from Oak Hill when he was in high school and transferred back. And then people look at this, oh, you're transferring to another college now? And they look at that and say, okay, this is just a kid that maybe has too many voices around him. You know what I mean? And maybe, you know, he just isn't sticking it out. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm all about doing what's best for you, and if he feels like he can flourish in a new system, then hey, why not try it? I just hope that this doesn't backfire. I'm really rooting for the kid.
One lot of the comments center around being a freshman. You can only expect so much playing time, but at the same time, if you don't see playing time in your future at Oregon, then that's a problem, because this was a four-star recruit, and he's still a very talented player with a chance to do great things in the future.
Certainly. All right, you got a weekend winner real quick, Isaac, under a minute left?
Yeah, I'll do it real quick, just a little bit of a commercial for you.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
You did not just play that as your weekend winner. That's your weekend winner?
That's my weekend
winner.
That
commercial, the Mountain Dew. What is it, the puppy monkey baby?
Puppy monkey baby.
Bumpy?
Puppy, I can't do it. Puppy monkey baby.
And that is how we end today's Current Sports. Folks, have a great afternoon. Again, same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.